Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 12th of January, 2020. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, Paul is starting a new series looking at prayer, and he's starting with the Lorden Prayer. The reading is Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 4. I'm sorry there's a buzz on the microphone during this week's sermon. We're going to try and sort out what we can do about it. So on with the sermon and let's join Paul.
Scripture reminds us of a time. Mark read the scripture earlier. We're going to read it again from Luke chapter 11. Of a time when the disciples came to him. Now, the words are on the screen. And I'll give you two options this morning, okay? The first is you can follow the words to carefully see if I get one wrong. Or you can do something revolutionary. I invite you to close your eyes and hear this. As the disciples first heard this. Because when this prayer first comes from Jesus' lips, he's not reading it, he's speaking it. So whoever you want to come this morning, whether you want to engage with the screen, if that's how you do things, I know you're not engaging with how many mistakes I make, promise. Or whether or not you want to engage by simply listening, I invite you to come and hear the word of the Lord. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he'd finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Praise be to God for that reading from his word. Amen. Thank you. Whether you engage with the screen or you engage with listening, whether you've got scripture open in front of you or now or not, let me remind you, friends, that Jesus invites you and I to engage with the Lord's word. In fact, Jesus does that himself, does he not? Ergo, he's a good model for us to follow. Well, we're going to start a series on prayer. And over the next few weeks, you are going to have plenty of opportunity to pray. Is that okay? You're going to be given very specific stuff, and we'll kind of just gently walk through what the Lord is asking from us as a church in prayer. But more of that to come between now and what will be the end of February. So that's just to let you know how long we're going to think about prayer. Quite a while, really. But prayer, lest we forget as we started, prayer is the bedrock of a church. And in that regard, if anything this morning touches you or you need prayer after the service, can I remind you that there will be a group of, we have our prayer ministry team, we'll be over there, and I'll be around too. So if this morning when we're praying for the addiction, an addict, there is someone here this morning that needs this prayer, friends. If we're praying, if that prayer touched your heart, then I invite you to come and find me. I'm also going to challenge the rest of the church to not make this a place of socializing. After the service. So please, 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 if it's busy out there, can you go and find somewhere else in the complex, in the buildings, to have that conversation? Would that be okay? This morning, for some of you, the Lord wants to do business. And here is where he wants to do that business. So can I invite you, dear church, not to make this a place of clutter and noise afterwards? Anyway, we're going to start this series now by looking at something amazing. We call it the Lord's Prayer. Recognizing something, actually, which is true of you and me, that just as the disciples came to Jesus with questions about prayer, so do we. Because whether we've been praying for hundreds of years, and I hope no one's been, if anyone's been praying that long, can you let me know? Hallelujah, I want to learn from you. But if you've been praying for a long time, Or actually we're a new Christian and we're saying, how does this prayer stuff work? We've all got questions about prayer. We have. And so let's be honest and say that's a reality of life. And so we come to Jesus with our knowing and our unknowing this morning. And just as the disciples did, okay, they make a request of Jesus. And I love that request. It's an amazing request, isn't it? Because just like him, we can come. And he invites us to do something awesome. He invites us to pray like Jesus, like he does himself. And the very first word of what he says tells you that. Did you see that hour? He says. He doesn't say something like this, I've been to theological college, you know, and I'm a rabbi, you know, therefore when I pray, my prayers are better than yours. He doesn't say that, does he? He uses a very inclusive word. He says, our. Amazing. And he says, our. And more than that, he says, Father, hallowed be. That Father word is the inclusion into the word our, okay? He says, Father, hallowed be your name. And it is an amazing phrase, isn't it? This morning as we come praising our Lord, we will follow Jesus' pattern. Have some time in a while for prayer and personal reflection. Because here's the truth. I don't pray to some dead God, do you? I pray to a God that is the Father of heaven and of earth. He's the one worthy of my praise. Frankly, you're all very nice people, but none of you are worthy of my praise. But my Father in heaven is. He's the one who I pray to. He's the one who I bring my prayers to. He's the one who I recognize, however much it shakes me to the core sometime to realize, that together we stand on holy, blessed, consecrated ground before God. Friends, when we pray, we don't pray out of isolation or in a sense of, actually, is God there? God is here before we even pray. And I come to the Holy One and stand on that ground and say, hallowed be your name. I come to recognize that this hallowed God gave me Jesus, and I invite you to do so too. The person to whom the disciples asked, how do we pray? And in this prayer, Jesus does something amazing. He pours out grace and truth and love onto his disciples, I would argue. And I want to suggest this to you this morning. When you lay yourself aside, come before God and give him the glory, he will answer you with grace and truth and love. There's that amazing song, which we didn't include, but it has this phrase in it. It says, and we give God the glory, for purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our worship, when Jesus we see. You know the song? Awesome words which speak into the reality of this prayer. Hallowed be your name. And then Jesus says, your kingdom come. Well, hold on. If you stop and think about it for a moment, for the disciples, this is an amazing statement. Because the person of Jesus is God's kingdom come to earth. So the person that tells them to pray, your kingdom come, is the one in whom God's kingdom is fulfilled. And he's standing in front of them. In fact, he's teaching them, isn't he? But that's true of us today. Because, friends, every Christian that knows and loves the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and who's accepted him as such, and who's asked God by his Holy Spirit to be with them, has Christ in them. That may sound like an awesome statement, but it's true. So when we pray, your kingdom come, we're not praying to this God who's over there, we're asking by the Spirit for God to fulfill that in us and with us. Awesome stuff. And so we join with the disciples, even though they may not have known it, that we are part of the awesome, amazing plan of God to reach out to this world, his kingdom here on earth. Friends, you are Minehead's plan A. And there is no plan B. That's how much God loves you, trusts you, and says, go on then, pray that, and let it be fulfilled in your life. And then there's another awesome phrase. Give us each day our daily bread, we pray. Do you know God meets your needs? Did you know that? Did you know he's interested in you? Did you know he engages with you? And some of you are sitting out there thinking, I've heard all of this before, then I'm going to suggest you do something. Go live it. If that's you, hallelujah, now go live it. Because no matter how you feel this morning, no matter how high you are or low you are, whether you are rejoicing or desperate, God gives you your needs. If you don't know the truth of that statement, come find me afterwards. We'll pray together, talk together. And this is awesome. God engages with you, not because he must, but because he wants to. Did you know that? God does not say, excuse me for using you, Rod. God does not say, oh, it's Rod again. Get the perception, Rod. There are many here that might say, no. God does not say, sorry, Rod. God does not say, oh, it's Rod again. God goes, it's Rod again. He delights in Rod. He delights in you. Awesome, magnificent, holy God wants to converse with you, wants to let you bring before him in prayer what's on your heart, what you're meditating about, what your woes are, what your pluses are, what your minuses are. He wants you to worship him. In all of that, you can have that quiet, but not necessarily always quiet conversation. Wants to be with you in prayer, in the noise and in the quietness, that God not only meets, but tends to your needs. Speaks through scripture, prayer, testimony, revelation. I have a friend, long gone to be with the Lord now, but he worked in the 80s in one of those machine tools sheds, rather, where it was so noisy you have to wear the ear defenders, you know those? I can't quite remember what he did now. But he worked in this place, I think it was a jam factory, and I think he worked in a glass plant or something like that. It was so noisy that the health and safety said he had to wear ear defenders. And one man started talking to him about Christianity, and he realized he couldn't hear a word. So he decided the only thing he could do, because he had need, was to say to God in the middle of this noisy factory, Lord, give me the words. And afterwards he would say to me, I ain't got a clue what I said, but he heard me through those ear defenders. And God spoke into that man's life. See, God doesn't necessarily need quiet, but what he does need is our attention. And then he speaks through scripture and prayer and testimony and revelation. But Jesus isn't finished. Hallelujah. He says, forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Sometimes we find the first bit of that not too hard, don't we? Is anyone here that's not a sinner? Just so that everyone watching, doing this on the catch up on the web, no, we have 54 gracious folk here who are not sinners. No, we don't actually. Truth is, none of us have put our hands up. We all recognize we're sinners. We don't find that part hard, do we? To acknowledge that we need forgiveness. But boy, do we sometimes find it difficult to forgive others. But both are possible if we realize that God is interested in helping us through us adopting his love and grace. Think of what Jesus has already prayed. Thy kingdom come, your kingdom come. In other words, as we let God transform us, as we become kingdom people, so it's easier to forgive. You know, here's the truth. I want to tell you this from my own life. If you just forgive those who have sinned against you, the remarkable thing is, friends, although you might sit here thinking that's going to help them feel better, I promise you it will help you, first and foremost. I absolutely promise you. And if you want to know how that works, come find me. But in my own life, when I have forgiven people that have wronged me, there is peace and freedom. And I'm going to let you into a secret of my ministry. The one thing God has gifted me with is no memory. And people in many churches have come up to me and said, we're so sorry, Paul. And I've been able to say, it's forgiven and forgotten, because quite literally I have. But the ability to be able to say you are forgiven is amazing. It gives me peace and freedom, and so it gives the other person that. True. Because, to use the words of another song, we have the privilege of being able to carry all that we bear to our God. An amazing gift given to us by the Father through his son, Jesus can be free. It's free to all of us. And if we forgive, friends, what we find is ourselves at peace, free of all the pain we carry around. And he goes on, it's cool, and lead us not into temptation. Have you ever thought about the words used there? Jesus doesn't say this. He does not say this. So I am not suggesting, I will make this very clear, that he says this. But he doesn't pray like this. Father God, help us out when we're in the middle of temptation, or indeed once we've known that we've made a mess of things. Doesn't pray that, does he? He prays, lead us not into temptation. Awesome words. His prayer is not that we'll be helped in our weakness, although we know that God helps us in those moments, does want us to be restored in relationship to him. But rather, this is a prayer that says, before we get in that moment, strengthen us, Lord. It's awesome prayer. It's amazing if you pray. Did you know this? God does amazing things when we get ourselves in difficulty. I want to challenge you. Next time you see the difficulty, can I invite you to pray before you get in the difficulty? I promise you, I absolutely promise you that that works. That God meets you, helps you, loves you, nurtures you. And he strengthens us to overcome. Because, friends, he wants this for you. He wants you to understand you are a victor, not a victim. Did you know that? Everyone here this morning that knows the Lord Jesus Christ is a victor because he's won the victory. I travelled yesterday. I have a confession. I left Minehead yesterday at 8 o'clock in the morning. The rain knew. She knew of my weakness. I got home at 11 o'clock at night. 471 miles. And we didn't play well at all. Yes, it's true. Yesterday, I travelled all the way to Everton to see Brighton lose 1-0. Took a day with my son, picked him up on the way. Had to hit the football. Truth is, the whip behind me, this old gent behind me, said, I'm staying here until we've scored a goal. Has anyone got lunch? And he was right. We could have played there all year and not scored. Give us the victory. Never going to happen. But you see, the reality is my victory does not depend upon me, but it depends upon the one that's already won the victory, Jesus Christ. Unlike Brighton, who lost, Jesus won. And so if later on I'm falling asleep, you know why. In reality, it's not a phrase that speaks of God's response to us in defeat, but speak to the reality that we have won and will win the spiritual battle. Make no mistake about it, we are God's plan A for Minehead, but we are also the victory team for Minehead. We have won. And so I say to the enemy, no matter what you throw at this church, we will stand and say, Christ has won. Because we will be the church in victory rather than the church in defeat if we follow this prayer. Another song spoke to me these words, turn to us, Lord, and touch us. Make us strong in your might. Overcome our weakness that we could stand and fight. This prayer of Jesus, friends, is not a prayer of defeat. It's a prayer of victory. Now, to a Jew, this was revolutionary stuff, and particularly at the time. We don't know a lot about the background of his disciples, but we do know a few things. We know they're all Jews. So it's safe to assume, and it is an assumption, but it's safe to assume that they were acquainted with the practices of the Old Testament in terms of prayer. And if you glance through the Old Testament at the number of prayers and the amount of teaching that there is on prayer, you can quickly see that any Jew that knew the Old Testament is steeped in the language and the practice of prayer, even before they followed Jesus. One commentator said they started off more steeped in prayer than we are today. That's an amazing phrase from a commentator, but I get what he means. We don't know whether this was something they practiced or not, but we do know Jesus did. And we cannot tell. Incidentally, did you see there it says one day when Jesus was praying? It doesn't say one day after Jesus had finished praying, does it? In other words, these disciples want to know how to pray, and so they interrupt Jesus as he's praying. That's awesome. Think of that logically. They didn't wait. This was so important to them. And did you notice then something else? Oh, incidentally, N.T. Wright in a commentary on this says that, quote, Jesus was a serial prayer. I love that phrase. Anyone want to be a serial prayer? That sounds like a really cool thing, doesn't it? And so therefore, when I hold my own life up to Jesus' prayer life, I feel inadequate. I don't know, and I know I don't pray enough or in enough depth. I don't seem to discern as Jesus did. And sometimes I don't even know what to pray. You ever been in those situations? What on earth do I pray? And sometimes I don't find it easy to pray when the tough things of life come. And so I come as the disciples did. I come to Jesus, and actually he responds to me in the same way as he responds to them. This is how you pray. Now he doesn't say to the disciples, does he? Excuse me, can you wait a minute? I'm just finishing my prayer time. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, well, you're stupid, aren't you, if you don't know how to pray? Go and read the Old Testament. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, you've been around me now for quite a while. Even after all the teaching I've given you, you're still asking me how to pray. He doesn't say, you haven't been paying attention up to now, have you? He doesn't say any of that. What he does say is this. When you pray, Father, hallowed be your name. He's prepared to stop to help his disciples. Let me tell you, he'll help you no matter what. He does it without exasperation, without ridicule, without rejection, and he does it without ever thinking about whether it's convenient for him. He doesn't make a reference to the amount of time he has or the amount of time they spend together. He's prepared to stop and help. I want to suggest this morning that your Lord would stop whatever he's into at this moment and help you. Not to the detriment of others, but to the benefit of you. This morning, if you feel inadequate in your own prayer life, then don't worry, because Jesus' simple invitation is come and pray. You don't need fancy words. I was once at college, true story, when I was at college, I was asked to lead, you're asked at college to lead prayers, about 8:30 in the morning at Bristol, 2 hours journey to get there, lovely. And I used to love them, used to get there, literally just to let you know, always before time, but that helped with the traffic anyway. But you're asked to lead prayers at college, probably about once every month and a half. And I was once in a prayer meeting there, and this chap came and he had the most eloquent prayers, and I was leading prayers the following day, you know, and I thought, oh, how am I ever going to follow that? And I worried about it. In fact, I worried about it overnight until the following day when I came back, and just as prayers is about to start, the Lord gave me a gentle reminder. And he said this to me, something like this to me, well, Paul, now you've had your time of malathering, you're prepared to listen, just start with the Lord's Prayer. And so I did. And guess what happened? The half an hour got filled up with everybody else's prayer. One simple prayer brought in response to our Lord. He asks us to respond to him because he responds to you. You don't need fancy words. You don't even need to worry about what you pray. Just follow that example and recognize that when, where, and how you pray are acceptable to the Lord. And how can I be sure of that? Well, here's a remarkable thing. Jesus doesn't even say to the disciples that their prayers are less valid or less glorious to the Father than his. Indeed, the word he uses here in Greek, that word Father, is the same word he uses when he's alone with God. Awesome, isn't it? He invites you and I into that relationship. And that means no matter how inadequate we feel, no matter how much we think our words make us stumble, we can go just as boldly as Jesus did himself and know that our prayers are as important to God as those of Jesus himself. That's staggering. That's the moment I go wow to. Jesus is teaching his disciples a new revolutionary way of not looking at prayer, but also looking at how God perceives their prayers. It's revolutionary. I used to do a lot of flying when I was in the city. I was once on a plane, and you know, if you're on a commute, if you're on those businessmen's planes, what happens is everybody ignores the safety briefing. Do you know that? So British Airways, this is a true story, British Airways invited their staff to think of inventive ways to engage these businessmen with the safety briefing. Because research shows that the more you listen to it, the more, when there's a problem and an incident, you're able just to do it. Does that make some sense? So this captain came on, and he said this. He said, "Friends, I'd invite you to listen to the safety briefing, and I know that all of you, or for the majority of you, are businessmen, and you've been on this flight many, many, many times. But I just want to say to you this. Imagine yourself to be on a plane with two children, your two children. Anyone got two children here? So, yeah? Imagine you're on a plane with two children. Now ask yourself the question. The plane crashes in the ocean. Quote, unquote, quote this guy, he said, which one do you favour and which one are you going to use as a flotation device? It captured my imagination. It's nonsense, isn't it? Because those of you that were two children will know that whatever else is true, you love them both, don't you? Wouldn't that be a truism of parenthood? They may be a problem and a pain and all that stuff, but you love them both. If God calls Jesus his son and you and I his child, who does he love the most? The answer is both of us. But it's also true to say, if you have a child from a human perspective, if you have a child that's got a problem, who do you help the most? The child with the problem. The reality is, Jesus is loved by his Father, and so are you, to the same depth, knowledge, and absolute grace that Christ himself was loved. That's what this prayer tells us about. And we cry, Abba, Father, with him. So suffice to say, when you come to Jesus, you have the whole undivided attention of the Father. And that is awesome, isn't it? And I love the picture, just to let you know. Maybe this whole prayer thing is something you've never really got to grips with. Well, this morning, I am inviting you to do that, to get to grips with him. I'm inviting you to approach our Father God, the personal, intimate, loving God who longs for a relationship with you built on love. I am inviting you to throw out the rule book of church on prayer, both with words and example. I was recently at a church, not in Minehead, I was recently at a meeting with these church officials who said, we're going to use this order of prayer today. And they started reading it and they left a gap, which was not very good because the Baptist in me prayed into it, you know? Afterwards, this guy said, we didn't follow the order of prayer today. What's an order of prayer? Surely prayer is about bringing ourselves and our concerns before our Lord. So I invite you to throw the rule book out the window, both with your words and with your life example. I invite you to come into the presence of your Father this morning. Not that we don't come with an amazing sense of awesome God, but we come with a profound sense of our own inadequacies. For we come from every human perspective possible. And I invite you to do something staggering this morning, and that is to come. And you and I, in this prayer, Jesus encourages to come. Even though, I mean, incidentally, who feels like a novice here when it comes to prayer this morning? Yep, okay, I'm putting my own hand, just to let everyone know, putting my own hand in here there. Because we all do at some stage. We're a novice, and we're certainly a novice compared to Jesus, we feel. But the staggering thing is that God wants you to pray, just as he wanted to hear from Jesus. And we're going to come right here, right now, before the Father that invites you. So pray with me here now. Usually it's me praying for you at this moment, but I invite you, right in the quietness and still of the moment, I invite you to pray to your Father. Pray in your heart. Bring yourself before your living God. Come as you are, with all your ups and your downs, with all your anxieties and doubts, with all your worries and wonders. Come not because I invite you, but come because he invites you. Simply come before your Lord in prayer, friend. And so, friends, I pray for you in the prayer that you have given to your Lord. And I invite you to join with me in a prayer that you will probably have learnt at a young age. That is a reflection of that prayer that Jesus first spoke to the disciples. We join together, friends, committing ourselves, all that we have brought before the Lord in prayer and praise and worship, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Friends, the prayer that Jesus prayed echoes the prayers in the Psalms and the prayers of the psalmist. David writes in Psalm 32, Therefore let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble. Surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all who are upright in heart. The psalmist, friends, reminds us that our life, whether in prayer or in worship, should be praise to our Lord. I pray for every person here, Lord, that our lives may be an offering to you. This morning, Lord, we come around the throne of the living God and say, Be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray.
To leave a comment, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.